Blog Talk Radio.
I feel that chill, smell that fresh cut grass. I'm back in my helmet, cleats and shoulder pads. Standing in the huddle, listening to the call. Fans going crazy for the boys of fall.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. I'm your host, Dave Johnson. As always, glad to have everybody with us tonight. We all know women's football is over, and we have been going to a few games. We had some girls on the team. They were actually off this week. Before I forget, though, the last week we was on, we was talking about a player on the team that had a young girl that's playing on the boys' team. Well, another one of our players, her little girl started, I think she may be 7 or 8, started today was her first day of practice on her new team playing with the boys, and that was Paisley Tweed. I call her Meanest because if any of you know her, you'll know why I call her Meanest. She looks like she's mean, so hope she does well. They sent me a picture in her uniform today. It's pretty cool. So their whole family, the Jessica Tweed plays for us. She plays for us, both for boys. One plays in middle school, one plays in high school, and now our daughter's playing, I guess it's Pee-wee. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but so that's cool with the whole family affair. So congratulations to them. But being women's football officially is over, we all know that the college kicked off last weekend. I don't know, there was 4 or 5 games, and they was some good FCS games. Me and Jennifer actually watched Jacksonville State play North Carolina A&T, and that was a really, really good game. I don't care. It was as good a game as I've watched in college football for a long time. Now, it wasn't a powerhouse matchup, but I'm telling you, it was a really, really, really good game, and I really, really enjoyed watching it. So, but the real, the whole college football scene kicks off this coming weekend, and there are a lot of good games and matchups and things of that nature. I can't even remember them all, but I Maybe not next week. I don't think we're going to get to have a show next week. But the week after that, we'll try to put all of them together and do a preview of all of them, try to be a little bit more organized. We've just been working a lot around here and had a lot of things going that I couldn't get them all wrote down. But I do know this, that the Tennessee Volunteers are going to Charlotte, North Carolina to meet the University of West Virginia Mountaineers, and I believe that's going to be a really, really good game. The new head coach for Tennessee, he's at least saying all the right things, so far doing all the right things, so maybe he's got them headed in the right direction. I believe if the alumni leave him alone, the guy will do a really good job. So maybe they'll get the win. We were going to try to go. I don't know if we're going to get to or not, but I believe that'll be a good game. There is some really, really good matchups. I just can't remember. I think Michigan and Notre Dame, I believe, play. That'll be a good matchup. I think Miami and maybe LSU. I don't know. Somebody, I'm not sure, but those will all be good games this weekend. I'll promise you. So, looking forward to that. Of course, I think this Thursday wraps up all the NFL preseason. You know, it's pretty much a joke. Nobody plays, and when they do, I mean, I don't know. It's just seems like it's looked terrible. So they wrap it up, and then they take off the following week, and then once they start, I heard them say they don't miss a week until the Super Bowl or after the Super Bowl. So it's almost men's football time, I should say, around here. We're really excited and about the new season for women to kick off. The Tri-City Thunder had their first tryout this past Sunday. We actually got Coach Mike, which is now the head coach for the Tri-City Thunder. He's going to be joining us here in just a minute, and we're going to talk about that and some of the new recruits and what it's like recruiting, and talk about this new women's football conference that's come out. I don't know a whole lot about it, but we'll talk a little bit about it anyway. So I think he might be already here. How about it, Mark? You there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, yes, sir. Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going. Just sitting at some fish as always.
We had the first tryout this past Sunday. How did you evaluate things going there?
Well, we had some pretty good talent show up. A lot more talent than I expected it on the first tryout, actually. Had some really, let's see, I think we had 12, but out of those, we had 4 or 5 that were brand-new faces, some really good athletes. And so I'm pretty excited. I'm really excited to see these girls start to get to work.
Right. Well, I know you and Jennifer are supposed to meet a new recruit tomorrow. Is that correct?
That is. I'll meet one tomorrow. We'll sit and we'll talk with her and I guess just kind of have our little informal meeting and see what she's feeling about it. But this recruiting process is we've kind of really taken an approach as recruiting from college, you know, high school to college, as far as trying to get out and reach people and go visit them and see if see if they're interested in doing it.
Right. Well, I know we talked the other day. Have you got to set up a day to go watch Sydney Robertson practice for UNACA yet?
No, I'll get out there sometime this week, hopefully. If I can't see her this week, hopefully I'll see her sometime next week. I mean, it's a pretty lengthy season. She won't be joining us until after her season, so I got some time. But the sooner the better for us.
Right. Well, now, tell me, I know you've been an assistant coach with the team for 3 years prior to this year. Being the head coach, tell us how much more responsibility you think it's going to be, and you know what you're most looking forward to as taking over the position.
I think because I've been an assistant for 3 years with this team, I think the transition is pretty much a smooth one. It's been a smooth one, and I think as far as the responsibility, listen, I'm still going to have sleepless nights just like I did with the assistant position, and I'm excited. I'm excited to start a brand new chapter in this very young but successful program, and I'm eager to get started and it's a challenge, I think that I got the right people in place to help and. I think we'll make strides. We're making strides right now in the right direction.
Right. Well, you know that the fact that I noticed and I just sort of stayed out of the way the other day when I was watching and stuff, but I've noticed that these girls seem to, to adapt to the transition. What I've seen, there was a whole lot of really, really positive vibes out there from every single person that was there, and that means from new girls that we'd never even seen or heard of before to, some of the older players. I think, and I'll be honest with you, I think it was as good an attitude as positiveness as I've seen from some of these girls since they played for this team.
Well, I think you're right about that, and I think a lot of it is the unfinished business factor. I think a lot of them, the group of girls, the core group that we have, know what's at stake. They know that most of them has been with this team for 3-4 years, you want to win as many championships as you can, or at least attempt to. And I think that the core group of girls that we have are as excited as we are as coaches to get going, because we actually left some plays on the field, and I think that the championship game against the Gators, and I think they're as eager to get back.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I also like I said, just sitting back and is watching. I mean, I ain't gonna say I was just a spectator, but I mean, I didn't do anything really. And just sitting back watching, from a different perspective, and I guess from a different view, I've seen a lot of these girls that in the past that have played for this team that, were sort of sit by the wayside. I've seen them really, really being assertive more on Sunday than I think I've ever seen them.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. I've seen, there's a handful of girls that, they just weren't as assertive in the last couple of years, and then I guess they show up on Sunday, and they I don't know if they had an awakening or if they're it's a fresh start, it's a new start. I don't know. I can't explain it, but whatever it is, I'm pleased with it. And I just the culture of our team, I think maybe we're starting to get it. I don't know. I wish I could put a finger on it right now. It's too early, I think, to tell. But I'm very pleased with the attitudes that we've had so far.
Yeah, I really was. Like I said, from I stood over there and talked to some of the fans of the fans and family of some of the girls that play on the team, it sure, and I'll be honest, it sure didn't seem like a team that with the attitude, they seem real determined, and happy to be back out there, knowing that even though they left some plays on the field, maybe it wouldn't have determined the outcome of the game. I think to get out on the field and be able to correct some of those and prove a point that they could have did somewhat better, I could just see that in them, and I actually, one girl there, wanted to run more at the end, and wanted to stretch more at the end, and that's the kind of positive things you need on a young team. Now, I know this is a fairly new organization, but as far as players, they're a new and young team for the most part.
Yeah, listen, the whole organization's only, we're going into this is the fifth year, and that's young. The girls that are starting to exhibit a little more leadership skills or leadership potential out there, it's refreshing, and it's just something that I hope that we can, as coaches, we can keep on them and hope that they just, you know, they just maintain it because, you know, it's going to take that throughout the season. And it's a quick turnaround for us. You know, this is just recent. July was our last game. And was it July or before July? I can't really, I'm kind of tossed off a little bit. But, you know, we were out there playing not long ago, let's put it that way, and now we're back into it. So, you know, I'm glad that the turnaround is quick in here, and I'm excited to see see if this can keep going with these girls being as enthusiastic as we are.
Yeah, it was just 6 weeks ago, man, that played in the championship, July the 14th, and, you know, already having the first try. And, I think that's important, something that you can to keep these girls involved in. You know, maybe it's maybe not an exact call to try out once a month, but getting them together and doing some kind of work. And, you know, we had some girls there, you know, from another team that, you know, saying they want to be better, want to be a part of something greater than just one person. And they said, man, we were so nervous when we came, but dang, we were just like, you know, no time flat here. Everybody was so nice, and everybody introduced themselves, and we felt like we fit right in. And, you know, where we've been playing, it's nothing like that. You know, everybody's standoffish and, you know, thinking, you know, well, this person might be after my job. And they said, man, I just can't believe how, you know, enthusiastic everybody is and how everybody was, you know, rooting for every single person in every drill. And you know, that says something for a football team.
Yeah, you know, as our organization, and we, you know, we're trying the best we can to make it a family atmosphere. I mean, every family on the planet has its issues, and we're certainly no different. But for the most part, you know, the core base of the young ladies that we have, they are very open and they're very receptive to people wanting to come out and be a part of it. And that's as equally as important for us as coaches as recruiting. You know, because if we, you know, we go out and recruit ladies, and we get them out into, you know, in the open with the rest of the team, and they're not welcome, it's gonna maybe deter them, possibly deter them from coming back. I think the core girls we got, you know, again, we talk about them, and I just think that if we can keep that, then, you know, our recruiting is just going to keep, it's just the floodgates are going to open, and I think we're just going to be overwhelmed at some point with maybe possibly having to turn some people away just because we don't want to get past the maximum number. That's a hope and that's a goal, but if we keep the attitude that we have now, it's very reachable.
Right. Well, you said the correct words, recruiting kids, because we have been recruiting some really young girls from the boys football teams and stuff. And with that being said, it really, to me, is more important with those girls than it is anything. Even though those girls play outside their atmosphere on that boys team, they've been to school with those guys forever. They're coming to this women's team, which some of them are a lot older, some of them are close to their age, but they're coming into a new atmosphere where they pretty much know nobody. And for every single person to make them feel important and to make them feel right at home is that important. And I think, and I know, you know, there's probably a lot of people saying at home, yeah, 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 that sounds good, but that don't win football games. But I'm going to tell you, it really, when everybody's excited about the people that surrounded you, that you got surrounding you, good things can happen on the football field.
Absolutely. I mean, and again, I go back to the core group that we have. They're very receptive, and they have a positive attitude for the most part. Now, every family has their issues, and, you know, and every dad has his problem with daughters and mothers and so forth, but for the most part, have a very positive group of girls and or ladies, women, and that we depend on to have that attitude. And it certainly is a tribute to how this organization has been ran from day one. That, you know, it may not have happened year one, year two, year three, but it's happening now that we're having it, and it's just a testament to how this organization's been run.
Well, we've sure tried. I mean, can you just imagine from what it would be like to pull from a large city where the population is so big, and you know, every girl you see looks like an athlete, and you know, major colleges, and can you just imagine, you know, what that would be like? I mean, we go to high school football games, and we're sitting there just thinking, man, can you just imagine having this many girls out there to work with? I mean, we're excited, and I guess that's what makes helped make us successful over the years. Is you know, we get excited about four brand new recruits and you know, showing up, because you know, we don't see very many new faces around here.
Not too many, no. I mean, you know, maybe in passing, you know, over the years, and I think we've talked about it before, that if you would have kept every individual that came on this roster or that came and tried out for this team on a roster, you're pushing, you know, 100-plus individuals. But we don't see new ones too often, especially new ones that pan out. And I think that, you know, the recruits that came in Sunday, you know, I think they are they're wanting to get better, and you know, they want to be a part of a program that is, you know, every year we're looking to win a national championship, and they have put that their egos aside, so to speak, and come from a team there in Knoxville who you know, I guess like you say, has the pick of the you know, the pick of who they want. But for some reason, that it's not as successful as a program as we are. So, you know, again, a testament to how the program's run, but I'm certainly glad to have the individuals that showed up to play for us so far.
Yeah, I will tell you, the first year, if I'm not mistaken, the first year that me and Jennifer started this team, we wound up with playing all season with 15 total players on the roster. There was some games that we went to play with 12. We played most games with 13 or 14. We did have one girl, I think, that maybe got healthy to play the last game, but she got hurt in the first of the year. But I'm gonna say this: if my figures are right, that particular year, we had, and I know people are going to say there ain't no way, but if I'm not mistaken, we had like 150 girls come through here that quit or didn't stay. And everybody used to, you know, blame it on me. It's my fault. I'm too hard on them. I said this, that, and other. But I'm going to tell you something, and you go ask Kenny, and I'm telling you, any football coach at any level, and 99 out of 100 of them are going to say, hey, if you can't be dedicated and you can't be committed and you can't be to all these practices, don't waste my time. And you know what? If all these other girls are out here telling me, hey, I can make it and I can make it and I can make it, what makes those think they're any better not to show up? I mean, I had a girl, maybe the best athlete that I've ever seen come through our program that wanted to play, and she was really, really good. I mean, big and fast and could throw a football about 50 yards in there. And but she wanted to play. She was 22 years old, but she only wanted to practice whenever she wanted to practice. And I told her that wouldn't work, and that, you know, she lied to us, said she was going to be out of town working, and come find out she went skiing, and there we are, all the rest of us are down there in the cold and the snow and working out, and she's posting pictures, and, you know, of being at Ski Lodge with her friend or whoever. So I told her, I said, hey, that won't work. I said, so you just have to move on. And she looked me right square in the eye. I'll never forget it. I'm telling you folks, the best, one of the best athletes, period, I ever seen. Looked me right square in the eye and said, you won't win a game without me. And I looked her back in the eye and said, I won't lose a game with or without you. And she left, and we actually went 8-1 that year.
Yeah, you know, it's just unfortunate that you have attitudes like that. And I think once you become a program that is embedded a little while, and I know 5 years isn't a lot, but it's still more than one and more than two, you can actually establish that culture of expectations for your players. And you know, you said it, you know, dedication and commitment. That was the message that I preached to the girls after the first trial, and it was as blunt as you can say it. If you're not willing to commit, don't waste my time, don't waste your time. But you know, for the most part, we have a group that wants to come and they want to work hard. And that attitude that you were just giving an example of is certainly the attitudes that we have strayed away from.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that at all. I don't, as everybody probably knows, I don't deal with ultimatums at all. I don't care who you are. And, I've said it a million times. We're going, you know, when I was a head coach and we're going to win or lose doing things right. And if we lose and we do everything right, we're going to hold our heads high because we did everything we could possibly do. And I'm not going to win by having to turn my head and go against everything that I don't believe in just to let girls on this team to win, because you're not teaching anybody anything, and especially these young girls. And I think those girls from Knoxville seen Sunday how serious that, you know, and I didn't even say, all I did is introduce myself before it started, and you know, didn't have to say anything to them. And when it's over, I talked with them a little bit, but they were, you know, they were telling me, like, man, I can't believe how much different things are. I mean, they were gassed, and you know, how much different things are, but how much we really like it, you know, how much we like this kind of structure. So forever person that don't want, I guess probably for every 10 or 20 or 30, whatever, don't want it, you get one or two that do want it. And it is refreshing to get somebody that's a new face that really gets it and, you know, really wants to play. And that's been my whole goal, is to get girls on this team that really want to play, that have the same goals in mind that those, when we first had that first team meeting, and there was seven or eight of them there, and those seven or eight girls have the same thing in mind. And when you get a team full of those, is when you see people reel off like 2 years of undefeatedness, like the prodigy is, and they've only been scored on in 2 years. And that's when you start turning that corner and realize, hey, we're here, you know. And when you've only got a handful of those and you don't have very many players to begin with, it's tough. So it's really, really refreshing to see those girls with smiles on their face.
Yeah, I can't agree more with you. I think, you know, it rubs off, it trickles down. And, you know, we've only had four new faces show up. But those are four new faces that right now we feel are, one, they're committed, two, they're determined, and they're going to help this program. And, you know, I'll take four committed individuals that want to come out and play, as opposed to 15 or 20 non-committed and attitude players anytime, just because it looks good on paper that you have these many numbers. And, you know, if we have to stay in an Iron Woman division for the longevity of this program, it's worth it, as long as you have the right players that you want, and you don't settle because you feel like you have to settle.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, one of the back when Jimmy Shores was one of the coaches here, we had so many girls come and go, and you know, and the lack of seriousness and all. We actually met at a Mexican restaurant in Kingsport, and rented the movie Junction Boys, and watched that movie. And if I'm not mistaken, they hauled them in there in 3 or 5 buses or whatever, and they all, so many of them quit, they hauled them out there in 1 bus. And they got the crap beat out of them all year long, but Barry Bryant got the message across, and that was the whole thing. Now, anybody that don't know who Barry Bryant is don't know much about college football. Up until Nick Saban took the reins, he was probably, you know, the best. And, you know, that probably was his one of his worst years, but probably one of his hardest years as far as on players. But he took over at Texas A&M, and that's where it was. And he wanted to prove a point. This is the kind of players we want, and this is the kind of players that we're only going to have, and this is the kind of players that we're only going to accept. And they did it. And, I mean, Texas Tech at that time, or it may have been Texas A&M, I don't know, one of the Texas schools. And, you know, it was and still is a major Division I college. And they played all year, man, with like 30 people or less. And but he set the tone for his career right then. And everybody said, oh, man, this guy's cruel. This guy don't know what he's talking about. Now, what are they all saying now?
Well, I mean, you tell me, he's got statues in his honor in those places that he's coached at. You know, if you look at the coaches that are successful in sports, you know, you look at Coach K from Duke, who his first year was awful. He should have probably been fired after his first year, but now he's looking, the athletic director there is looking like he's a genius for keeping him. And then you look how, and he gets the players who he wants to fit his program. Same with Nick Saban, and same with Les Miles when he was with LSU, and so on. All these great coaches, they have a vision. They set the standard for what they're looking for. They go out and get it. If you don't meet that standard, if you don't meet that criteria of what they're looking for in a program, and a lot of it's based off not just football. It's based off how you're going to act on and off the field. How are you going to act when you're in the classroom and how your grades and so forth. They're demanding, they get what they want, and they're successful because of it. I mean, it's the proof there is in the pudding.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm going to tell you, you know, I did hear a little bit of, you know, what you were saying to the girls after the game, and you know, at this point in time, it's not a paid job, but, you know, when – And I believe what I'm gonna say wholeheartedly with teams like the Prodigy, with teams like the Boston team that just won it all, with teams of all these teams that are really good. I really believe that even though they're not getting paid and they're volunteering, they take it as though it is a job, and they take real pride in it. And that's what it boils down to, folks. There's lots of things that I do or have done in my life that I didn't receive a dime for, but I took pride in it. And I enjoyed being good at it, or I enjoyed being the first one there and the last one to leave. There, you know what? There's value in everything that doesn't have money attached to it. And that's the message that, you know, I want to get across as a football owner, as a coach, as a fan, and all that. Just because we're not getting dollars for it don't mean there's not any value to it. And when, you know, I've been told, well, don't you talk to this player, you might run them off. And all I'm going to ask them is, do you really want to play? And if they say, well, I don't know, that's all I need to hear, because it's no. I mean, if you're not just busting at the seams to play, then no, you really don't want to play. And that's why, that, you know, when we had the first team meeting and then we had this first tryout, all those same girls that were at that meeting were at this tryout. And all the same ones that weren't. And I think, you know, when if you look back, that's just what you said, the core and actually the heartbeat of this team. Now, if people are listening, they say, well, I had this to do and I had that to do and I couldn't make it. Really? Do you think these others didn't have it? If it hurts you, then it should hurt you. But I want people to believe that just because I'm not getting a dollar for it, let's just take this show, for instance. I don't get a dollar for it, but I'm going to tell you something. I take pride in it or I wouldn't do it. And we, you know, we want to be the best show we can possibly be. JC does hard work setting it up, and me just get on here and ramble on and get guys like you on here to talk about it. We want to take pride in it. We're not receiving anything for it. But that don't mean there's not value in it. So when we sign these girls and they sign up to play, they're signing up for something, I think, bigger than just money. So we might have lost Mike. I'm not sure. But
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
You there? Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I just think it's, you know, what we got them going is it's just more valuable than putting a dollar on it.
You know, I think a lot of the times you have, you know, going back to making decisions whether or not you want to play or not. And most of the time, you know, it's a curiosity thing. A lot of them will say, well, I don't know. Maybe I haven't really given it a thought. And some of them will say, yes, I want to play, and they haven't given it a thought on how hard it's going to be. And you know, you have to evaluate whether or not it's possible for you to play. That's your very first step. If where there's a will, there's a way. And if you want to play, then you start to evaluate the things that you have to start to set aside so you can put football in front of. That's just – listen, that's even if you're paid or not paid, and because it's a commitment. A commitment is a commitment, whether you sign on a dotted line or not. You know, it used to be just the handshake was all you needed to have for somebody to say, yes, I'm going to be committed. And I think that a lot of these young ladies that come out and try out, or you say they're interested, they don't just necessarily put that thought process together. When you have teams like the Prodigy and teams out of Boston who, you know, just they're the right team at the right time that have what they need to have to be successful, you know, those are the ones that, you know, and they're taking it more serious. You know, they have a goal and they have it in sight. Well, I'm not saying that every team doesn't have a goal, but some teams are just more fortunate than others, and they're just a part of that. That select few, but you know, there's a time that these ladies are going to get paid, and I hope it's sooner than later. But they're not going to get paid if they don't play.
Yeah, and you know, it's I think it's more like you know, when you go out there and you're on a trial, you know, on a somebody's, hey, you know, we're gonna let you work on a trial basis, and I think that this women's football is like a trial. If Mike, that's your phone, you might have to put it on mute, but I think it's like it's on a trial thing, and if these. Mike, that's your phone. You might have to mute it,
yeah,
man.
I'm trying. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But you know, they're. It's a kind of a thing. It's been around for women's football's been around for a long time. Nobody's taking it serious until now. People are starting to really take it serious and more serious, I should say. And there's more teams. There's more players. But the fact that we have more players spread out over more teams and now more leagues, and, you know, each team, you know, from one year to the next, they're, oh, I'm, man, you got the league I want. You do everything I want here. And then the next thing comes along and they're gone. And, you know, I'm telling you, I firmly believe that I don't know anything, period, about this new league. And I certainly don't want to say anything bad about them because I don't know anything bad about them. Don't know anything good about them because I don't know nothing about them, period. Except they have a few good teams already in that league and have some really good players. But I'm going to tell you something. The more teams, the more leagues set up for more failure. Now, anybody can say what they want. They can tell me I'm crazy. But I'm telling you, when teams jump from league to league and they're making people mad at this league and that league, at some point in time, it's going to run out where they can play. And when you can't, when you don't know if you can even make it in one league and you jump to another league just because they sound better and you think that, oh, they're a bigger league or they're a better league, they got better teams, that don't necessarily mean anything. Some of the people that I know are watching women's football and you're saying, how's all this tied together? It goes back to the getting paid. It goes back to we're on a trial. I know I don't know any of this new league backers, and when I say backers, money people, but I will promise you this. I know some people with some serious, serious money, and the only reason that they're not in football, period, and I'm going to promise you one thing, if they decide to get in, it's going to be through old Dave here, some way, somehow, some kind of fashion, I'll guarantee you. But the thing is, Dave, tell me what kind of product you have. What kind of product? Well, guess what? Just when you think you're building a great league, you have teams bailing out to another league. Now, when next year, when things don't go good there, and they bail out on that league, and then that league has to start trying to find new teams, it's just a dominoes effect, Mike. And the thing is that we're on a trial basis here, and we've been on a trial basis as far as women's football, as long as I've been a part of it, and that's going on 6 years, and we're going to still be on that until we can get some steady play by these teams, by these leagues, and by these players. And like I said, it all rolls downhill, and if players don't do right, then the teams can't do right. Then the leagues can't do right. And we all just crumble. So we're all on the trial. And that's where it's what it's going to take for us to get these ladies paid.
Well, you know, I've been fortunate and I guess unfortunate to own a league. I used to own the WCFL back when it was in existence, and that was the World Class Football League, and it was a men's minor league team. And I had the same situation. Teams want to leave because they're either not happy with this league or they think that the grass is greener on the other side. You know, it's all about a process, man. You can't have anything. Nothing's ever just given to you. And, you know, if you're thinking that, well, I'm going to go from, just say, the USWFL to this new WNCF or whatever it is, if you're going to jump leagues, then you're just really restarting. You're starting. You may have a team that has been in existence for 3 or 4 years, but you're starting over in a new league. And in a sense, you're starting over because the league itself is brand new. So, you know, to not go through the process of, you know, listen, the USWFL may not have been the league that you wanted it to be last year, but it certainly may be the league that you want this year. You just got to stay with it. And it's a process. Everybody is quick to jump ship because of they see the next big thing coming, and they're like, hey, I want to go be a part of this. My advice to any team that's in this league right now or that is considering to leave, you really should evaluate every aspect of doing so, because there certainly could be a time. You know what you're getting right now with the USWFL. you don't know what you're going to get with this new league, even though you just talked to them. And if you're going to jump from this league to that league, I would just say, you know, you have to do obviously what's right for your team. But don't expect that grass over there to be any greener over here. In fact, you know what you're getting on this side. When you get onto the other side of the fence and it's all sand, because you're starting over and you're not going through the process of helping women's football and the USWFL to make women's football bigger. And I just encourage that any team that's out there thinking about doing it, you know, you seriously should evaluate every aspect, the pros and the cons. And if one con it outweighs the pros, you should really think about not going.
Yeah, well, I know when one night we were you weren't on here, but when those four teams that are basically the foundation of this new league decided to go, the woman that now owns the Dallas Elite come on this show and swore that she tried to get on the Gridiron Show, which they do on Tuesday night, the same time as ours, because some of the players from the Texas Elite team were on there, and she swore that she couldn't get through. And she was on this league and or on this show, and she was talking about, you know, the type of play they're going to do. Now, I don't know if they're still going to do the tournament style of games or what, but I know what they were talking about doing those, you know, the tournament style of games. But one of the guests that I had on the show was actually, and you know, they're thinking that their team, well, from what I hear, they may be going to this new league. They were one of the very ones that were talking about, oh, that tournament style, I don't like that tournament style of play and this and that and the other. And I don't even know if they're still going to do the tournament style of play. I don't know. I don't know anything about that league. Like I said, I have enough to worry about here without having to try to worry about another league. All I can say is this. For every team that forms and folds, it hurts us all. For every league, and I'm not saying, and I know people might be listening, and the first thing they're going to say is, oh, he said this new league. I'm not saying this new league's going to fold at all. They probably got enough powerful people that they might keep it going. I don't have any idea. But what I'm going to say is, for every team that crumbles, women's football hurts from it. For every league that crumbles, women's football hurts from it, suffers from it. And for every player that don't play on a team that severely needs players, that puts those teams in a bind, even though that team might finish the season, it hurts women's football. Every forfeit, all this stuff, people don't realize. You forfeit games here on the East Coast, It affects people on the West Coast, because women's football, we're all in it together. And that's what I say. You know, this league grows and is as successful as everybody's league, and all the leagues are a success, then that's when we have an opportunity to do something. But I'm telling you, and I'll bet you anything out there, that as long as all these leagues are going in all these different ways and nobody wants to get along and nobody wants to come to common ground, we're all hurting one another.
Well, and you're right. And you also have to look at the fact that, you know, we're still in the as long, I mean, women's football has been around for a while. And I said it before, we're still in like the beginning age. We're like in the prehistoric age of women's football before it's even getting big. And, you know, if you're not sure, or let's just say you just don't, we tell our girls every day, you never know who's watching. Well, listen, you know, we could be on the precipice of being paid tomorrow. There may be somebody that hears this show or says something that says, you know what, I'm going to start a women's league tomorrow. We're going to pay it. And it's going to be a national women's football league. Well, don't think for a second that they're not going to do homework and look. Well, let's look and see some of these teams that are jumping from the league because they're not happy. And these are the same things we tell our players. Hey, don't jump from team to team because, you know, you're just – because you're not happy or whatever the case may be. Work harder to get to where you're at. enjoy the process, man. You know, stay where you're at. Build something you can honestly say, you know, we've been here for whatever. Now, I don't know anything about that league either. I support women's football, and I want leagues, if they're going to form, to be successful. But I just think that if you're in a league already and you're just not – and let's say you didn't win it this year or, you know, last year or whatever the case may be, you know, it's a process. And I'm hoping that makes sense, because it certainly does to me, that, you know, you just have to grind it out and, you know, have some loyalty. If you're teaching loyalty and preaching loyalty to your players, well, you know, you should start to think about what you're doing as a team, just up and moving, because your players are going to see that too. And there's somebody else is watching, and you may just be left on the outside looking in when the league does run. That's, you know, a professional league for women.
Yeah, well, we all know that there's not any loyalty in anything anymore. And you know, it just goes, you know, I've raised by a single mom, and she firmly believed in you help others. You know, you treat people the way you want to be treated. And I'll just tell you, I'm finding hard as I get older to even come close, and I pride myself on helping a lot of people in this world. And I'm finding it harder and harder each day that I live to help people, because it just seems like it comes back bites me in the butt every single time I do. Every time I, you know, think that, you know, hey, man, I've helped somebody out here, or we did some nice things, and, hey, these people are on board, these people. It never fails that we seem to get a knife in the back from somebody somewhere, and instead of getting something good from it. And, you know, and I'm telling you, I just find that hard to keep going on every day to fight through, because my mom was that kind of person, and that's the way she taught me. But it's not that way anymore, Mike, and nothing happens that way. And, you know, I tell any of these players, you know, when you don't show up for practice, look, I get it, you get it, everybody gets it, you may have to work. I mean, even the best teams probably got somebody that don't make it someday for some whatever reason. But when you don't make it for BS reasons, or you make up something, and I tell these people, you know, and you're not hurting me, you're hurting these other girls. You know, and these other girls ought to be the ones that are mad. These other girls ought to be the ones saying, hey, you need to whip it in gear. It shouldn't have to be the owner. It shouldn't have to be the coaches. These players are the ones that are suffering for it. It don't hurt me or you if they don't show up. It hurts them. And, you know, the loyalty of anything, from players to teams to leagues to people's word, like you said earlier, a handshake. You know, I'm the type that, hey, I tell you something, you can depend on it. You tell me something, and I can depend on it. That's the type of person I am. But everybody else don't play by those rules anymore, man.
Well, you're right, and I think we're seeing we're a product of the times. I think. Most of these young people, I wouldn't even say just classify as young women, but most young people are a product of the sign of the times. Everything's changing. You know, you're more politically correct, and your word isn't your bond as it used to be. It's now it's what can you do for me, or what have you done for me? You know, and I think what separates you and I from these, and listen, we're not by any means, we're not prehistoric age. But we're old enough to remember when there was a time that if you said what you were going to say, you did it, you know, or if you said what you want to do, you did it. But it's just not like that anymore. And that's a lot of what we go back to the recruiting. It's very, very difficult. You know, you just really don't know who you're getting. they have an they're athletes and they're great and they look like they can perform well, but really it's just like you're just flipping a coin hoping for the best. But occasionally you find that diamond in the rough, and I think that's when I go back to saying, you know, these coaches that pick who they want, and I think that's why they're successful. Well, I think this organization is on the right track, but also the league as well. You know, the league has to do the same thing for the teams that they're looking for. Are you going to be able to do what you say you're going to do? Are you going to be loyal to this league come hell or high water? And so often it's easy to just jump ship and not stick through things. And, you know, it's really a tragedy. And until we can actually get more teams and more owners on board to be loyal, to actually understand what it is to mean loyal, I mean true loyalty. You know, I'm talking like dog love loyalty. That's the type of loyalty that you're going to have to make this successful. And until we find that, it's just, you know, we're going to be struggling. And, you know, I just, again, I hope it happens sooner than later.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you how old I am and how things are. When I was a kid, and not even as much a kid, even in teenager and just starting driving and all, you know, I, like I said again, I was raised by single parent, and I can remember I lived in Houston Valley out on VI Ranch Road in New 421 went there, and out in front of Bristol Caverns was a little gas station. And, you know, my mom had an account in there, man. And when I tell you an account, people today would hear, you know, throughout the weeks, we'd run out of money. She'd stop in there, hey, I need to get some gas. And they had a blood throat down, you know, and she'd get, back then gas was cheap, $5 or $10 in gas and whatever. And it was told we used kerosene. And come into the week, you know, she got paid. She'd stop by there and pay her bills. That's the era that I'm from, and that's the kind of stuff that means something. You know, when you can trust that. Can you imagine going to a store today and say, hey, man, I'll pay you this week when I get paid? You think they're going to give you any gas?
No, they're going to look at you
like you're crazy, man. That's how much things have changed. You know, now you have to go pre-fare. They won't even turn the pump on. I mean, I'm serious. I can remember, you know, that's how my mom got gas throughout the week. I mean, times were tough. Things were hard, but people still believed in people. People still believed in their word. It's not like that today. And I'm finding it harder and harder to stay to what my mama tried to teach me. There's several things that, you know, she tried to sink into me that I didn't get. But I will say this. I like to do what I say, and, you know, and that's what I expect everybody else to do. And that's where I guess, you know, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt, and they just take the end of the rope and run with it and make you look like a fool. And I don't like it, and I sure don't appreciate it. You know, that's the part that hurts the most is, you know, I can get over being mad. But, man, when you do that, you make me feel like an idiot. You make my feelings hurt. And when that stuff happens, that's hard stuff to get over. And, you know, I roll all this back to just what I said. What would you say? Now this ain't happened yet, so don't anybody start flooding in here. I won't join that league. But wonder what all these teams would say if I come first of the year after we're getting ready to start playing, and I said, hey, I've had a sponsor come in here, and whoever wins these championships is going to get $25,000 in cash to divide up for their team. How many people do you think would be calling my phone wanting in the league at that point?
You would probably have about every team. It's endless. I mean, to hear, and again, that goes back to saying it's the next best thing, $25,000. But who doesn't want to play for $25,000, right? But it could be 1 year. What if it's only 1 year? And what happens if you don't get that $25,000? But no, I understand what you're saying, and it's. you know, it's really hard today to be to treat others how you want to be treated. It's more or less treat others how you're treated. And, you know, I'm with you. I'm having to bite my tongue and bite my lip every day because of way that things are happening. But, you know, it's, you know, and so we can find a way to keep fighting through it. That's just what we got to do.
Yeah, it is. I've thought all day long since, well, I got my phone started ringing first thing this morning about teams that are in our league and about teams that are leaving our league to go to this new league or whatnot. I've just thought about it all day long, you know. If they thought for 1 minute that there was a bigger light at the end of the tunnel, they wouldn't hesitate to back out going somewhere else. I bet you that.
If you said if the light was brighter at the end of the tunnel, they wouldn't hesitate. I agree. It's a sad realization, and you know, I just. Yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, we can have all the meetings you want, and you can talk about all you want, but really it's just time to start seeing some change and see some loyalty being thrown out there instead of just, you know, wanting to go out to see the next best thing. I guess, Dave, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. You know, I'm just hoping that you get to a point to where we have, you know, people have turned that tide and want to get back to the way it used to be.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think, you know, I was thinking back to you talking about your men's league you had, and, you know, somebody that was you just asked me the other day, what's this new league, men's team around here? And just since I graduated from school and since we've had this team, I'll bet you there's been 30, and I'm telling you 30 or more men's semi-pro teams in this area. And the fact that none of them serious, the fact that none of them can get along, nobody believes in showing up working hard. The ones that are not that good believe they are good. The ones that are really good don't show up. It's just a fiasco. You know, we're headed, I feel like that we're on the right track. And just about as women's football, I feel we're on the right track. But it just seems like every year we come to a new bump in the tracks, you know, and something that sets us back. And, you know, it's just this summer that, you know, I was talking to a potential investor, and he was so excited, and I was so excited. And, you know, we're talking about, tell me how many teams you got in the league. And I tell him, and how many leagues are they? And I told him and how many teams they had. And he said, wow, that one team's got a lot of – or one league's got a lot of teams. I said, yes, sir, they sure do. He said, it seems like they got too many. I said, well, I don't know about that. He said, well, what would be an ideal – you know, and we talked about it, and I'm not going to throw those numbers out there. But, you know, when we were talking, some of these teams that I was really counting on, I don't know that I can count on them anymore. And that just throws a wrench in the whole thing. You know, when we talk about girls getting paid to play, I promise you this, and I don't care how good you are, I don't care how many gold medals you have for playing on that USA team and all that. When women start getting paid as a whole, it's going to be a small supplement. I'll promise you that. To think that somebody that's going to go out there and throw millions of dollars down and say, here, we're going to have a league, and you just pay these girls this ungodly amount of money to play, it's not going to happen. Now, it's going to happen in small amounts, and the amounts are going to get bigger. And I promise you, it's going to be with incentives, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff you have to do to reach that supplement. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you start talking about getting paid, you start talking about at least an eight team league, and you start talking about everybody having the same amount of players, and 35 comes to mind, just so you have enough to play a special teams and offense and defense and work against and practice. Then you have to have coaches and all those players. I mean, you just think if you had an 18 league and all the players just made $1,000 and the coaches just made $1,000 and you have eight coaches or whatever some of these teams have, and we'll say that your payroll for each team is $45,000, not counting travel, not counting home games, and you got eight teams. Oh, my God, if you own a league, I mean, right there is a huge amount of money already. Not counting the travel. I mean, you're going to suck up some big dollars right off the bat. So for everybody to think that it's just going to happen like tomorrow, and somebody's going to come in and roll out a big bankroll and say, hey, here it is, y'all just feast on it, they're sadly mistaken.
Well, you know, if you go back and look at women's sports in general, I mean, let's just say basketball, for example. Basketball is an international sport for women. They played in high school. They played in college. When they first started out in WNBA about 25, almost 30 years ago, their contracts weren't anywhere as big as what they are now, and they're still considerably smaller than the male counterparts that they have in the NBA. So you're absolutely right. I don't think that the minute that somebody comes and says, hey, we're going to start paying females to play football, that you're going to have a huge deal. It's just not going to happen. But as time goes on, it certainly could, and it's going to take some time, and it's a process. And that's just like I was telling you earlier. It's a process. Stay with it. Everybody wants to go here and there and this and this and this. You know, they can end up really doing more harm than good. And they can end up being on the outside looking in when somebody does come along and says, hey, you know what, the USWFL, we like what you're doing. We want to make an offer, and we want to start paying your teams and your players. Well, you know, that can happen to any league that's out there. Don't get me wrong. And I certainly want all leagues to succeed because I want women's football to succeed. All I'm saying is that if you're in that process, stay with it and grind it out.
Well, I'm telling you that I know, and I've talked to all kinds of potential investors, and I'm telling you they have the money. And the thing about it is they don't care to spend the money. But here's one thing, and these guys I know personal. I mean, I'll promise you, I could pick up the phone if I was in a bad need and said, hey, I need $100,000, and it was for something that really I needed for, they're going to send me $100,000. These guys are that way, and I know them that well. But the fact of the matter is I don't go after them for money for this team, for this league, for these girls, or anything, because we're not there yet. And when I say we're not there, when our league can play all their games, nobody forfeits, everybody plays the playoffs, everybody plays in the championship, everybody sends their all-stars to the game, when it's a flawless run deal, and when you got 10, 12 teams or less, whatever, it's possible. And if it's not possible, then it's not possible for us to make it work to get paid. When all that can happen, I can send him, I can call every one of them and say, hey, I got an investment for you. And you know what? All of them would be proud to say, hey, you know what? They'd be proud to pick up phone. Hey, you're going to be up in Tennessee. Let's go by and watch some of my teams play in this women's football league, y'all. And they're going to say, what? Yeah, man, I want a women's football league. You'll see it. It's cool. And they want to go set. You know how rich people are. even though some of them are really down to earth, they like to parade around and show off. And that's what it's going to take. I'll promise you. Now, I don't know. I do know when this when they had this open forum thing, when they had the best of the West out there, I heard them talking with some potential investors, and I heard that investor say some as true a words as I ever heard. And I believe every bit of it. Now, maybe they've got it all straightened out, and maybe they've got all their people on board. I don't know. But I can promise you this, that until you can put a great product out there to where these guys can brag about it, can enjoy about it, take their family. You know, I picture, you know, like Jerry Jones sitting up in his press box with his whole family. Every time they show him, he's up there drinking and having a good time with all his family. They show him more than any other owner, him and Bob Kraft. They show them two guys more than any other owners. They're probably the most popular owners in the NFL. They get out. They travel. Every time you see them, they're having a good time. They got great products. They put great products on the field. They're proud to own the Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots. And I'm telling you, folks, that's what it's got to become. And it all starts with the players and the coaches and then the team and the league and everybody doing their part. And we will get there in small amounts. But I can't those calls on a hope, man, gosh, I've got my investors coming today, Lord, I hope this team shows up. It don't work that way, Mike, and you know as well as I do it don't.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't if I was a millionaire right now, and Dave, I know you pretty well. I wouldn't be willing to do it because I know that, you know, I just exactly what you're saying. You have to have the product, and as much as I want women's football to succeed, you know, there are some things that have to happen before it can actually succeed. You know, the commitment, the loyalty, you know, having the right structure of teams and organizations in place, all that stuff's got to happen first. And you're absolutely right. And I mean, I couldn't agree more. And you know, it's, you know, just the only, you, all you can do at this point when you talk about it, and I tell you all the time, it's like, well, what do we do? You know, it always comes back. So, well, how do we fix it? And you know, if anybody has an answer of how to fix it, please feel free, because you know, we got to fix it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't, you know, one thing I think I heard today that the Atlanta Phoenix is joining that new league. I think somebody said they wanted 16 teams. You know, I don't understand with just that few teams. And look, I don't have to understand. I want everybody to first and foremost. It don't matter to me. But I don't understand. I mean, I have people calling me from California wanting in this league. And, you know, in case people don't realize, it's 2,500 miles from here to Los Angeles, California, and wanting in this league. And I can't imagine having to try to get teams from here to get out there to play them, and I don't know, you know, how their whole deal's gonna work. But I mean, you got a team in Dallas, Texas, and Utah, and San Diego, and Seattle, and Atlanta, and maybe Jacksonville, and I don't know where all they're gonna be. But man, that's a lot of teams spread out. I guess, you know, they're maybe trying to get 8-8. I don't know of how it works, but that's definitely a lot of traveling. You know, like I said, I turned down. Well, I don't turn them down. I just say, hey, I can't. Rather than now, I don't have enough teams to get you games. And, you know, I'm honest with them about it. If we can get more teams, then sure, we'd be glad to have you. But I don't see how that part of it, how they can, you know, make it work. But I guess they've got it all figured out. And, you know, they've been thinking this process through for a long time because they up and left IWFL to do that best for the West, and started and had that open forum conversation out there. And so, you know, they put a lot of thoughts and ideas into it because it's been in the making for a while. So, well, Mike, man, I'll let you go. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and rambling on with me about some of this stuff, and maybe it'll help out, sink in, and maybe it won't, but, you know, hey, giving it our 100% best, that's all we can do.
That's all we can do.
Man, I appreciate you coming on, and you have a rest of a good night. We'll talk at you later.
All right, Dave, I'll holler at you later.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, folks, there's Mike Wallace, the new head coach of the Tri-Cities Thunder. He's really excited about that, and the team seems to be excited, and maybe he'll keep the tradition going. Hard work definitely is the way. There's no substitute for it. So, you know, I will say this, that and I tell every player this, and before we get off here tonight, we're about done. And I tell every single player that I talk to, you know, that comes through here that may play or have played for another team or something, hey, every team is the same. You have to go where it suits you. And, you know, but that's no different than a team getting in a league. If you think that's where it suits you best, then most definitely you staying on and causing havoc or trouble when you think you're better than everybody else as far as an organization or your team's better, then, yeah, you're most definitely better to get in a league that better suits you. And that would be anybody. And I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm talking about everybody out there. It's just like jobs, you know. What job may suit me may not suit Mike, and vice versa. Our strengths may be in different ideas and our avenues. We may work the same place. We just have different jobs or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I get it. If something else out there is better, then go for it. Just remember that, you know, there's only a certain amount of them, and when you burn all your bridges and run out all your sources, then there's nowhere else to go. So you got to be careful when you make those jumps and things. And I've been on that side of the fence myself, so it can be a bad situation. So with that, I'm gonna leave it at that. As always, I want to thank JC Sports Network for having us on here, talk about the great sport of women's football and how we wish things was a lot better than they are. And you know, all we can do is talk about them and work on it and do our very best to get them there. And you know, I say it all the time, I'm just one person, JC just one person, Mike's just one person. It's going to take a lot of people and a lot of people on the same page, not just a lot of people. We all have to be on the same page. It's a tough situation. It's a touchy situation. It causes a lot of hard and bad feelings, the way a lot of people do, and the way same with a lot of these girls, the way they act and promise you they're going to play and then last minute bail and go somewhere else. It causes a friction. And, you know, having teams in your league that you depend on and they bail out on you after you hear all the time that they're in, it causes hard feelings and friction, folks. And I don't care what kind of deal you are. If you plan on going on vacation with your neighbor, your best friend, and right up to the time you've made all these reservations and you go to load the car and they back out, I promise you, you're going to be pissed off. And I'll guarantee you, you're going to be just exactly that or worse. So, but, hey, life goes on. We'll keep treading forward. There ain't no doubt about that. For sure, I talked to JC. We won't be on here next Tuesday, so it will be the following 2 weeks from tonight. We will resume back. I'll try to get some, be better prepared and get some college football together. Maybe I can get Coach Mike to do that for me. He sits around and likes to keep up with all that. Maybe I can get him to help me get it together and we can go over it. So appreciate everybody listening. Hope everybody has a good night and good weekend. Till we talk to you later in a couple weeks. Appreciate it.